This unit provides a comprehensive guide to the investigative and hearing procedures involved in the complaint process for violations of the laws and regulations governing real estate activities. It covers various types of violations and discusses the potential consequences that may arise as a result. Additionally, the unit explains the Real Estate Recovery Fund and how it serves to compensate individuals or corporations who have suffered damages in real estate transactions involving Florida licensees.
Legal terms to understand. To help you understand important real estate terms in the legal realm, we have provided the following definitions and examples. Breach of trust. A breach of trust refers to the violation or omission of a legal or moral duty, resulting in the breaking of a promise or obligation through an act of omission, default, or non-performance. Example 1. A sales associate signed a contract for sale in the name of the buyers without their knowledge or permission, citing the need to save time as a reason. The sales associate received an administrative complaint from the DBPR for violating Section 475 of the Florida statutes, which subjects real estate licensees to discipline for committing fraud, misrepresentation, concealment, false promises, false pretenses, dishonest dealings by trick, scheme, or device, culpable negligence, or breach of trust in any business transaction. The sales associate was fined $1,000 and investigative costs of $700, had their real estate license suspended for 60 days, and was required to attend a 45-hour post-license course and a 3-hour ethics course. Concealment refers to withholding information or a material fact. In a fiduciary relationship, a broker has a duty to disclose unless the principal already has the information. Culpable negligence involves negligent conduct that, while not intentional, demonstrates a disregard for the likely consequences of one's actions. Brokers may face culpable negligence charges if they fail to give ordinary, careful attention to their brokerage or exercise reasonable control over the brokerage agents.
Fraud. Fraud is intentional deceit and reliance on the deception to induce someone to rely on false information and to give up something of value or a legal right. A broker may be charged with fraud if they fail to disclose known defects or remain silent when the defect is not readily observable. Material fact. A material fact is relevant information that affects the value of the real property and is essential for decision making. Information about a property's condition, such as known defects or code violations, are material facts. Misrepresentation. Misrepresentation is an untrue statement of fact or an incorrect or false representation of the facts. A licensee may be charged with misrepresentation for failing to disclose that a listed property is advertised by a real estate licensee. Moral turpitude. Moral turpitude involves conduct that is against honesty, good morals, justice, or accepted custom, and is deemed depraved by society. Felonies such as embezzlement, larceny, and robbery are generally considered moral turpitude. For instance, a sales associate agrees to store drugs belonging to a friend, which are later found and seized by the police. The sales associate is found guilty of possession and trafficking of controlled substances and notifies the Florida Real Estate Commission, FIEC, of the felony conviction. The DBPR serves the real estate sales associate with an administrative complaint, and the associate faces disciplinary actions for being convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude.
The Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, DBPR, is responsible for regulating and enforcing laws and regulations related to real estate activities. The DRE handles complaints of alleged violations of these laws and rules by real estate licensees. The complaint process involves 7 steps. The first step is the filing of a complaint with the DBPR, which may be done by any person or entity. Once the complaint is received, the CRE initiates an investigation. A determination is then made as to whether there is probable cause for the complaint. If probable cause is found, a formal complaint is issued. An informal or formal hearing is conducted, and a final order is issued. Finally, if the licensee wishes to appeal the final order, it may be done so at the district court. It is essential to understand these steps to protect the interests of those who may have suffered due to violations by real estate licensees.
the process of filing a complaint with the DBPR's Division of Real Estate, DRE, starts with submitting a written complaint regarding an alleged violation of a law or rule. The complaint process is consumer-driven and can be initiated by consumers, licensees, or other agencies. To submit a complaint, complainants can download the Uniform Complaint Form for Real Estate from the DRE website or use the online complaint portal. Any complaint filed in writing and that contains legally sufficient facts indicating a violation of Florida Statute 455 or 475, a DBPR or FREC rule will be investigated by the DRE Enforcement Section. Complaints may be filed against licensees, applicants, or unlicensed individuals for violating Chapter 455, FS, Chapter 475, FS, or any existing DBPR or FREC administrative rule. The DRE Enforcement Section oversees the complaint process for both licensed and unlicensed individuals, even those who committed alleged violations in another state. For example, a complaint can be filed against a real estate licensee who was convicted of a DUI in Georgia.
The DIE has the authority to investigate anonymous complaints or those filed by a confidential informant, provided that they are in writing, legally sufficient, and the alleged violation of the law or rule is substantial. The DIE will conduct a preliminary inquiry to determine the truthfulness of the alleged violations in the complaint. An anonymous complaint is confidential until 10 days after probable cause has been found to exist, or the subject of the investigation waives the privilege of confidentiality, whichever occurs first. The Uniform Complaint Form for Real Estate can be downloaded from the DIE website, along with instructions for completing it.
The Division of Real Estate, DRE, can start an investigation if it has a reason to believe that a licensee has violated the laws, rules, or regulations outlined in Chapter 455 of the Florida Statutes. Chapter 475 of the Florida Statutes, DBPR Rule, or FREC Rule. Although most investigations start with a written complaint, they can also be initiated by inspecting a brokerage office, auditing the broker's escrow account, or by a licensee self-reporting a criminal matter. If the act being investigated is a criminal offense, the DRE can investigate without notifying the subjects of the investigation. If the original complainant withdraws the complaint or indicates a desire to stop the investigation, the DRE can continue with the investigation, and the commission can take the necessary final action once the case is fully prosecuted. The DRE sends a copy of the complaint to the subject of the investigation or the subject's attorney, who can submit a written response. The complaint and all information gathered during the investigation must remain confidential until 10 days after probable cause is found or the subject of the investigation waives the confidentiality privilege, except for criminal violations. If probable cause is not found, the investigative report and supporting documents will not be made public. Once a legally sufficient complaint has been investigated, the division's legal section will receive an investigative report with all supporting documentation to determine if any violation has occurred.
In rare instances, the Division of Real Estate, DRE, may come across a serious violation during the investigative process that poses a threat to public welfare, such as embezzlement of thousands of dollars from the escrow account by a broker. In such extreme cases, the DBPR may issue an emergency suspension order to prevent the licensee from continuing to practice real estate before the normal disciplinary process can take place. The DBPR secretary or a legally appointed representative can exercise the authority to issue a summary suspension order under Florida Statutes 120.60 and 455.225. Due process requirements do not mandate a hearing before the emergency suspension, as long as formal proceedings for suspension or revocation are initiated promptly.
Probable cause is the reasonable grounds for prosecution. FIEC's probable cause panel determines whether probable cause exists by a majority vote. The panel is made up of two individuals and its sole responsibility is to determine whether probable cause exists. The FIEC may convene multiple probable cause panels to handle the volume of investigative reports. One of the panel members must be a current or former professional member of the FIEC. If the panel member is a former professional member, they must currently hold an active valid real estate license. The second panel member may be a former or current professional or consumer member of the commission. Probable cause proceedings are not open to the public and the remaining FOEC members are prohibited from attending. This segregation of commission members allows the probable cause panel to serve in a grand jury type of arrangement. The probable cause panel reviews the investigative report and staff attorney's recommendations, and must make a decision within 30 days after receipt of the final investigative report, unless an extension is granted by the Secretary of the Department. If the panel finds that probable cause does not exist, it may dismiss the case or dismiss the case with a letter of guidance to the subject. If probable cause is found, a formal complaint is filed. After the probable cause proceeding has been concluded, the complainant and subject of the investigation are sent written notification of the outcome. The DBPR must give timely written notice to a licensee's broker or employer when a formal complaint has been filed against a sales associate or a broker associate.
To initiate disciplinary proceedings, if the probable cause panel determines that there is sufficient evidence to support the allegations, the department is instructed to file a formal complaint against the subject of the investigation, also known as the respondent. This formal, administrative, complaint contains a list of allegations of facts and charges against the licensee. The administrative complaints are delivered by email, regular U.S. mail, and certified mail to the licensee's address of record. Notification via regular mail or email to the licensee's last known mailing or email address on record is considered adequate and sufficient notice to the licensee for other official communications from the DBPR. Final orders, for instance, are sent by regular mail. Licensees have the responsibility to keep the DBPR informed in writing about their current mailing address, email address, and place of practice. It is also recommended for licensees to regularly check their email address on record.
The administrative complaint is accompanied by an election of rights form that offers three options to the licensee. The licensee must select one of these options and send back the completed form to the DBPR within 21 days of receiving the administrative complaint. The three options are: accept the allegations of fact without dispute and ask for an informal hearing. Contest the allegations of fact and ask for a formal hearing. Accept the allegations of fact without dispute and waive the right to a hearing.
At times, the licensee respondent and their attorney may hold a meeting with a DIA attorney prior to a hearing to discuss a potential settlement and agree to a stipulation. A stipulation is an agreement between the attorneys of the DIA and the licensee or their attorney about the facts of the case and the penalty. The stipulation must be sanctioned by the FIEC to be effective. It's recommended that the licensee and their legal counsel, if any, appear before the FIEC to support the stipulation. During a commission meeting, the FIEC will consider and decide on approving or rejecting the stipulation. In the event the FIEC denies the stipulation, it may advise the DIA attorney on additional penalties deemed necessary to support a revised stipulation.
On occasion, a licensee who is facing a disciplinary hearing may decide to relinquish their real estate license instead of undergoing the hearing. This option is known as voluntary relinquishment for permanent revocation and results in a permanent revocation of the licensee's ability to practice real estate. For example, a real estate agent who is being investigated for embezzlement may choose to voluntarily relinquish their license in order to avoid a public hearing and permanent revocation of their license. By doing so, the licensee is permanently barred from practicing real estate and will not have the opportunity to have their license reinstated in the future.
If a stipulation is not reached between the DRE attorney and the licensee respondent, the case will be presented in either an informal hearing or a formal hearing. An informal hearing is a fast-track approach to resolving the disciplinary case provided the respondent does not dispute the alleged facts stated in the complaint. During the hearing, held at a regular commission meeting, the licensee respondent is given a chance to provide supporting evidence and/or witnesses to explain the details of the case. If any party raises an issue of disputed fact during the hearing is terminated and a formal hearing is scheduled before an administrative law judge. The FREC will determine, based on the admitted facts, whether the licensee is guilty of the charges alleged in the complaint. If the licensee is found guilty, the FREC will decide which penalties are appropriate based on the details of the case and any mitigating circumstances, and it will issue a final order. Commissioners who served on the probable cause panel for the particular complaint cannot participate in this informal hearing. The licensee respondent must be notified at least 14 days before the hearing.
To proceed with an administrative complaint, the subject must respond to the election of rights within the given time frame. Failure to do so would result in a waiver of election of rights, and the case would be heard by the FREC in an informal hearing. For example, if a licensee fails to respond to the election of rights within the given time frame, they will be considered to have waived their rights, and the case will proceed to an informal hearing.
If a formal hearing is requested by the licensee respondent, or if there is a dispute over the allegations, the case is prosecuted under Chapter 120 of the Florida Statutes. Hearings under Chapter 120 are presided over by administrative law judges who are employed by the Division of Administrative Hearings, DOE, and have been members in good standing of the Florida Bar for at least the past 5 years. Administrative law judges are independent and not subject to direction or control by any party or department of state government. Once an administrative law judge is assigned to the case, the DBPR cannot take any further action except as a litigating party. During the formal hearing, the administrative law judge has the authority to administer oaths to witnesses, take their testimony under oath, and issue subpoenas. A subpoena is a legal command for a person to appear at a specific time and place to give testimony or produce records. Failure to comply with a subpoena may result in a finding of contempt of court.
The administrative law judge, ALJ, is responsible for preparing a recommended order for the FREC, which includes the judge's findings of fact and conclusions of law, along with the recommended penalty if necessary, based on the commission's range of penalties as set forth in rule. Any party that is a part of the case can submit written exceptions to the ALJ recommended order within the statutory time limit.
The final order is the conclusive decision made by the FREC on the licensee's guilt or innocence and the appropriate penalty, with the members who served on the probable cause panel excused. The FREC issues the final order at the end of an informal hearing. In cases where the matter is heard by an administrative law judge in a formal hearing, the FREC must consider the administrative law judge's report and recommended order, along with any exceptions filed and final arguments made by the accused party, before issuing its final order. Once all the final arguments have been heard, the commission members who did not serve on the probable cause panel make their decision and issue the final order, concluding the quasi-judicial process. A copy of the final order is sent to all parties involved in the case, along with information on the appeal process. The final order becomes effective 30 days after it has been entered, and a licensee has the right to continue practicing real estate during the complaint process and up until the final order becomes effective.
The licensee respondent has the option to challenge the final order within 30 days of its issuance by filing an appeal with the DBPR and the appropriate district court. During the appeal process, the licensee may request a stay of enforcement, which temporarily stops the enforcement of the final order until the case is heard on appeal. To obtain a stay of the final order, the District Court of Appeals must issue a writ of supersedias. If the review in court finds a material error in procedure by the FREC that affected the fairness of the hearing or the correctness of the action taken, the case may be sent back to the FREC for corrective action. If the court does not find legitimate grounds to set aside, modify, remand for further FREC proceedings, or order additional action, it must affirm the action taken by the commission. If the final order is affirmed, reversed, or set aside, a mandate is filed with the commission, which restores the licensee's rights and privileges as of the filing date if the final order is reversed. If the inquiry or proceeding is related to a license application, the application must be approved and processed. Additionally, if a court reverses or sets aside a final order, it may award attorneys fees and costs to the prevailing party.
There are three types of penalties that can be imposed for violations of the real estate license law: administrative, civil, and criminal. The FREC only has the power to impose administrative penalties for violations of Florida statute and administrative rules and regulations. The administrative penalties aim to enforce the duties and obligations of individuals and firms in the real estate business, and the FRET cannot impose imprisonment or order restitution to an injured party. Imprisonment is a criminal punishment that must be ordered by a court, and injured parties can seek damages in a court of law. The FREC has established rules that outline the administrative penalties for specific disciplinary actions. These guidelines inform licensees of the range of penalties that they may face during formal or informal hearings. However, the Commission may impose a penalty outside of the guidelines based on mitigating or aggravating circumstances. The DRE may impose a summary suspension, which was discussed earlier in this unit, while the Commission has the authority to issue a variety of administrative penalties, which may be combined. For instance, in addition to a fine and investigation costs, the Commission may also require attendance at a FREC meeting or completion of an educational course. The penalties available to the DRE and the Commission are presented in the following chart. So please pause the video and spend some time to familiarize yourself with the administrative penalties on the following chart.
The FREC has established administrative rule guidelines that identify minor violations and provide for the issuance of a notice of noncompliance for a first offense. A minor violation is one that is not likely to cause significant harm, physical or economic harm to a person, or adversely affect public health, safety, or welfare. Within 15 calendar days of being issued a notice of noncompliance, the licensee must take corrective action. Failure to comply may result in a citation, but not a fine, and it will not be included on the licensee's public record.
The FIEC has established a set of violations that are deemed not to pose any significant threat to public health, safety, and welfare. These violations are listed in an administrative rule which also indicates the amount of the fine that may be imposed for each offence. If a licensee is found to have committed one of these violations, a citation will be sent to the licensee's last known address via personal service or certified mail. The licensee will have 30 days to accept or reject the alleged violations stated in the citation. If the licensee accepts the violation, the fine must be paid within 30 calendar days from the date the citation becomes a final order. However, if the licensee disputes the alleged violations, a written objection must be filed. An investigation will then be conducted, and the investigative report and supporting documents will be presented to the probable cause panel. A citation is considered public discipline and will be recorded on the licensee's public records. For instance, a first-time offence of failing to notify the DBPR of a change in the mailing address or email address may result in a citation and a $500 fine.
The FREC has the authority to impose administrative penalties, which fall into three categories: fines, suspension, and revocation of the license. The maximum fine for violations of Chapter 455 of the Florida Statutes and Chapter 475 of the Florida Statutes is $5,000 per violation. The Commission has established a list of violations with a range of recommended fines for each violation in accordance with its disciplinary guidelines. A license suspension can last up to 10 years, and any unlawful act constitutes grounds for suspension or revocation, depending on the severity of the offense. Licensees must continue to fulfill renewal requirements during the suspension period. Revocation is the most severe penalty that the FREC can impose and results in the permanent loss of a license. Revocation can be imposed for any of the grounds for suspension or denial. When a broker's license is suspended or revoked, all licenses issued to sales associates who work for the penalized broker become inactive. The associate's license status can be reactivated by registering under another broker. Similarly, partners, officers, and directors of a partnership or corporation that has had its license suspended or revoked may request registration with a new employer or in the same partnership or corporation if it reorganizes to requalify under Florida statutes and FREC rules.
If a license was mistakenly or inadvertently issued by the Commission, it may be subject to revocation or cancellation. This means that the license would no longer be valid and the individual would be unable to conduct business under that license. However, if the revocation or cancellation was made in error, it would not negatively impact any future attempts by the individual to obtain a license. In other words, the individual would not be permanently barred from obtaining a license due to the mistake or inadvertence of the Commission. This allows for a fair and equitable process in which individuals are not unfairly penalized for administrative errors.
Civil penalties are imposed by civil courts in cases where there is a dispute between two parties over money or property. If a person is sued in civil court and loses the case, they may be ordered to pay money to the other party. In the context of real estate, a court ruling in favor of the plaintiff could result in the individual filing a complaint with the Division of Real Estate against the licensee, which could lead to possible disciplinary action. For example, a buyer could sue their broker for culpable negligence and misrepresentation in a residential real estate transaction, claiming that the broker failed to inform them that a new extension of a major highway would take a portion of their property. If the court ruled in favor of the buyer, ordering the broker to pay monetary damages and court costs, the buyer could file an administrative complaint with the Division of Real Estate, stating that the broker violated license law per the court order. Criminal penalties, on the other hand, are issued by criminal courts and may include fines or imprisonment. The Division of Real Estate lacks the authority to assess criminal penalties and must refer any criminal matters to the State Attorney General's Office for investigation and possible prosecution. If a licensee is arrested for a criminal violation that is not related to real estate, the division cannot take disciplinary action against the licensee until the case has gone to court and a court decision has been entered.
Second-degree misdemeanors are considered to be the least severe misdemeanor crimes. If a misdemeanor crime is not specifically classified by the Florida legislature, it is automatically classified as a second-degree misdemeanor. This classification also applies to criminal violations of the Real Estate License Law, Chapter 475, unless otherwise specified in the statute. For instance, advertising property or services in a fraudulent, false, deceptive, or misleading manner is classified as a second-degree misdemeanor. The maximum penalty for a second-degree misdemeanor is a fine of $500 and/or imprisonment for up to 60 days.
A first-degree misdemeanor is the most severe type of misdemeanor crime in Florida, carrying harsher penalties than a second-degree misdemeanor. For instance, according to Florida Statute 475-453 of the Florida Statutes, failing to provide accurate and current rental information for a fee is classified as a first-degree misdemeanor. The maximum penalty for a first-degree misdemeanor is a fine of $1,000 and/or imprisonment for up to 1 year.
Felonies are the most severe type of criminal offense, and third-degree felonies are considered less severe than first- or second-degree felonies in Florida. If the degree of felony is not specifically designated by the Florida legislature, then it is considered a third-degree felony. The maximum penalty for a third-degree felony is a fine of $5,000 and/or up to 5 years in prison. Three examples of third-degree felonies related to license law are: providing false information or making misleading statements on a DBPR license application. Engaging in unlicensed real estate activity, including providing real estate services for payment without holding a valid real estate license. Stealing or reproducing a DBPR license exam.
Please pause this video and familiarize yourself with the maximum criminal penalties displayed on the following chart.
Licensees in Florida are required by law to report to the commission within 30 days of being convicted or found guilty of a crime. This requirement applies to licensees who have entered a plea of nolo contendere, no contest, or guilty, regardless of adjudication, to a crime, regardless of where the crime occurred. Misdemeanor and felony offenses must be reported. To report the crime, the licensee can download and print the criminal self-reporting document and submit the completed form to the Division of Real Estate. Failure to report a conviction or guilty plea may result in disciplinary action against the licensee. The penalties for failing to self-report can range from fines of $500 to $5,000 and incarceration for up to 5 years. The specific penalty imposed will depend on the severity of the offense.
The Real Estate Recovery Fund is a program that provides financial compensation to individuals who have experienced financial harm due to the actions of a Florida real estate licensee. This program is only available to those who have exhausted all other options for recovering their losses and have obtained a court judgment against the licensee in a civil suit in Florida court. The compensation from the fund is specifically for monetary damages that were suffered in a Florida real estate transaction and only applies to losses caused by the actions of a real estate licensee.
To be eligible for reimbursement from the Real Estate Recovery Fund, a consumer must have suffered financial loss due to the actions of a Florida real estate licensee who violated license law. The licensee in question must have held a current, active, and valid license at the time the transaction occurred and must not have been directly involved in the transaction as a buyer, seller, landlord, or tenant, nor as an officer, director, or partner of a business entity that was directly involved in the transaction. Additionally, the licensee must have acted solely in their capacity as a real estate licensee during the transaction.
To seek reimbursement from the recovery fund, an injured consumer, claimant, must meet specific requirements. The claimant must file a civil suit and obtain a judgment against the individual licensee, not against a real estate brokerage entity, based on a real estate transaction, such as a real estate sale contract or lease agreement. The claimant must obtain a writ of execution issued on the judgment and make a diligent effort to satisfy the judgment from the assets of the licensee by conducting an asset search, proving that the licensee's assets are insufficient to satisfy the judgment. If the licensee files for bankruptcy and the bankruptcy court impedes obtaining a judgment, the commission may waive the requirement for a final judgment. The claimant must execute an affidavit confirming that the final judgment is not under appeal. The claimant cannot be the offending licensee's spouse, the judgment debtor. Additionally, a real estate licensee who was the buyer or seller, lessor or lessee, in a real estate transaction may also make a claim against the fund, provided the licensee did not act as a real estate agent. In other words, if a licensed person is the buyer or seller of real property and suffers financial loss due to an act committed by another licensed broker or sales associate acting as an agent, the victim can still seek reimbursement from the fund, even if they are licensed themselves.
The claimant has a time limit within which they must file a claim for recovery. This limit is 2 years from either the date of the alleged violation or the date of discovery of the alleged violation. Nonetheless, it is not possible to make a claim for recovery more than 4 years after the date of the alleged violation in any case.
The Real Estate Recovery Fund has a maximum limit on the amount of payment for a claim resulting from a real estate transaction or the unsatisfied portion of the judgment claim, whichever is less, and it cannot exceed $50,000, regardless of the number of claimants. Furthermore, the total payments for claims based on judgments against one real estate licensee may not exceed $150,000 in total. The accumulation of the recovery fund is financed through a recovery fund fee charged to active and inactive licensees. This fee amounts to $3.50 per year for brokers and $1.50 per year for sales associates and is added to both new and renewed licenses. The special fees collection stops when the fund reaches $1 million and begins again when the fund drops below $500,000. The fines imposed by the FREC and collected by the DBPR are transferred to the recovery fund. The chief financial officer makes payments from the fund after receiving a voucher signed by the DBPR secretary. The claimant must file the claim within 2 years of the alleged violation or discovery of the alleged violation. No claim may be made more than 4 years after the date of the alleged violation.
The Real Estate Recovery Fund will only provide reimbursement for compensatory damages incurred by the claimant and not for attorney's fees, court costs, treble damages, or punitive damages. In the event that a claimant receives payment from the fund to satisfy a judgment against a licensee, the licensee's license will be automatically suspended and will not be restored until the licensee repays the full amount paid from the fund plus interest.
In situations where the parties involved in a real estate transaction have conflicting demands for escrow funds that cannot be resolved, brokers must initiate one of four settlement procedures. One of these procedures involves requesting an escrow disbursement order, EDO, where the commission determines who is entitled to the disputed funds. If a broker who has complied with an EDO is later sued by either the buyer or the seller and is required to pay damages by a court of law, the FREC is authorized to order reimbursement for the amount of judgment against the broker, up to a maximum of $50,000. Additionally, if the lawsuit pertains to compliance with an EDO, Florida statute dictates that the commission must pay for the broker defendant's reasonable attorney's fees and court costs. If the plaintiff prevails in court, the plaintiff's reasonable attorney's fees and court costs are also paid. However, the recovery fund will not cover punitive damages or interest. To be eligible for reimbursement, brokers must notify the FREC of the court case, and the broker defendant must defend the disputed actions in court diligently. If a broker had previously requested an EDO and followed the procedure's instructions, no disciplinary action will be taken, and their license will not be suspended, nor will any repayment to the fund be required. For instance, suppose a broker complied with an EDO where the buyer was awarded an earnest money deposit of $12,000. The seller then sued the broker, and the seller prevailed, resulting in a judgment against the broker of $12,000 in monetary damages, the earnest money deposit, $2,500 in court costs, and $3,500 in seller's attorney fees. The broker's attorney fees were $5,000. How much can the commission authorize to disburse from the recovery fund? The total amount is $23,000. Brokers who comply with an EDO are eligible for reimbursement of the EDO amount, $12,000 in monetary damages, attorney fees, $5,000, and court costs, $2,500. The fund is authorized to pay the plaintiff's attorney fees of $3,500 because the plaintiff, seller, prevailed in court.
Let's summarize the key concepts of recovery fund claims. The maximum payment for a single transaction from the fund is $50,000. The maximum payment in total against one licensee is $150,000. The fund cannot reimburse for punitive damages, treble damages, or interest. License suspension is mandatory upon payment from the fund, with the exception of EDO compliance. A broker who complies with an EDO may be reimbursed for the amount of the EDO's, attorney fees, and court costs. If the plaintiff prevails in court, the fund will also reimburse the plaintiff's attorney fees and court costs.